What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome to Tumble Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
Girls, how you doing this week?
It goes. Hey, it's going.
Girl, I hear that. Don't I hear that?
It's summer season, so.
It's summer season, but Ann, you had to come in from the pool to do this shit.
Yeah, Tony Khan really put 4 hours of wrestling on TV last night
Tony.
That I did not make it through, so I had to cut short my hot and summer at the pool.
I love having such a sieve of a brain. So Leah showed up yesterday, you know, like an hour before summer blockbuster and was like, I can't fucking believe that we have this 4 hour show. And like, I had a horrible day at work and I'm not even going to get high right now because I'm going to try to watch the show. And I was like, 4 hour show? 4 hour show? No! He got me again.
I know. And at least this is the last one, but next week's 2.5, right?
What do you mean 2.5? For what?
Power Arena Mexico.
I did see that there was a half an hour overrun. Okay.
Yeah.
He can have that. He can have that. I mean, that's like a normal overrun. So it's like,
it's not that much more than a regular show. But still, like having it canonized ahead of time just feels like a slap in the face, you know?
I like it better because then at least I can prep for it. It's like when I'm like, oh, 10 o'clock, I get to go to bed. And it's like, keeps going. And you have no idea how much longer it's going to be. And you're like, it could be 30 seconds. It could be another 10 minutes. At least if I know I'm in it until 10:30, fine.
But what if they overrun the 10:30 to 10:40?
That's when it's a talent show for sure.
And it's going to be a big, beautiful talent show, my friend.
My tour dogs will be staring at me for a half an hour, being like, why? Why can't we go out?
Have we used talent show in this? On the pod yet?
Yeah, but okay. I don't know if we've done it in a way that makes sense.
You should explain it.
I did finally launch it at work. I felt like it got a good but slightly confused reaction. Like, why do you need that? Guys, talent show is from someone's Tumblr post where they were like, I'm having such a horrible day. Like, if things don't get better, I'm going to. And then, like, remembers that my therapist said I have to stop saying kill myself. Put on the greatest talent show this town has ever seen. And now we're all just saying talent show instead of KMS. And if you're a child of the 90s, it's like, you want to say KMS. Like, it's hard to wean yourself off.
It's hard to
KMS.
Wean yourself off. But
talent show is doing it.
I onboarded it at work. And not only did people laugh at it, I've got two different colleagues now that sometimes will email me and you'll be like, you'll never believe what I just got from blah, blah, blah. Talent show. Sure. It is a talent show like crazy.
It is so, it brings a levity to moments of pure distress and misery that you can't get from anything else. It's a perfect little phrase.
I like
and
when
I can
we
see why your coworkers get into it too, because then it's like you're on the inside of a little club.
Oh,
little
it's fun to have a little code. Yeah. And I like when we really customize it and it's like, you would not believe the musical numbers I'm putting into my talent show.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can really get creative with it, yeah.
And I believe recently that you said you were going to perform the national anthem at the talent show. And that was like, yeah. No talent shows this week. We're alive. We're doing okay. What were we talking about? Why did this come up? Why were we saying talent show?
Oh, because
Tony.
Yeah, Tony. Sure.
Look, guys, we did our best yet again.
We watched it. Hey, we watched it.
We came in for the pool early.
Tony needs to be proud of us.
We're Tony's little angels, okay? Mm-hmm. We've done everything he could possibly ask of us. I mean, I didn't, like, watch it I didn't watch the whole thing on the night, but I left it on in the background, Mr. Nielsen.
Mr. Nielsen, here are your numbers. Here are all the numbers you asked for.
Oh, Mr. Nielsen, you needed one more number in the pot? I'm happy to do that as long as my eyeballs don't have to be on the show. We gave the numbers that we could give, and we caught up on what we could, and there's a certain amount that I'll say I didn't manage to catch up on because it didn't seem plot relevant.
Yeah. I'm never going to have to think about it again.
I have to say it was huge for me because I was feeling a little like, God, are we the worst girls in the world that we complain about our bountiful 4 hours of wrestling? But then I listened to our brothers over at ONR this week, and I was so happy to hear longtime wrestling fans being like, fuck no, 4 hours on a weeknight? Certainly not, Mr. Khan. So, okay, thank God, we're fine. Yeah.
Mr. Khan, the rest of us have jobs in the morning.
Anyway, okay, so no talent show, Still We Live. It's my week to say what's making me happy. And I told my co-hosts ahead of recording, I was like, I think it's a little bit of a lame what's making me happy this week. So, but I'm going to say it anyway, because, and they're going to make fun of me because it's very on brand, okay? The thing is, so I live in Minneapolis, not to dox myself. And Minneapolis, St. Paul, there's a very cool textile center that, you know, they do classes on all sorts of fiber arts, and they have, you know, demonstrations by artisans.
I was waiting. As you said, it's very on brand. I was like, I wonder what the artisans have gotten up to now. Textiles. I love it.
Anyway, and they've been doing something, I mean, for a long time, where like twice a year they have a garage sale where people donate, like, basically their crafting stuff and their, you know, fabric and yarn and all sorts of shit. And then you can go and you can go to the garage sale and you can get such cool stuff there. And they were doing it twice a year, but they just opened it as like a full-time shop at the textile center. So you can go shop these used fabrics and stuff. And I know it's lame, guys, but I think it's really nice. A, you can buy some really beautiful materials, really high quality materials for very, very low and reasonable prices. But also, just to get up on my soapbox for a second, I think it's very nice to buy used things, and especially for there to be a place where it's like, you know, you go there because you're like, I love quality knitting stuff. That sounded crazy. Just don't listen to that. I love beautiful, high quality yarns made in Italy, and I go to the textile center store where other people who have those high quality yarns and also value them, but were like, I don't have anything to make with this. They gave their yarn because they were like, someone else who loves it will get it there. And that someone is me.
Yeah.
I just want to encourage everybody, look for places in your own town where you can give something a second life.
Well, you're embarrassed about this, because if you came in very committed, like, this is a cool one, we would have been like, yeah, that's
yeah,
so cool.
It's fine.
I know, but it's just earnestness. You know, it's really difficult.
But here's the thing. If for some reason I needed to impersonate Allie, like, I wanted to do a goof where I'm like, I'm Allie, that's exactly what I would say. I'm Allie, and I love going to craft fairs and meeting highly skilled people who work with fine quality materials.
I just think there's something very, it's like, somehow it's like very sweet. It's like even sweeter than a Goodwill to me, like, for some reason. Like, you just go in there and you're like, there's just so much stuff, especially there's a lot of old like notions and stuff that people have clearly had for like 30 years and just like didn't find the right thing to use it on. So it's like, now if I'm like, oh, I need a hook and eye closure, I don't have to go to Michael's, or you can't go to Joann's anymore, it's closed. Mm-hmm. I can just be like, I'm gonna go buy someone's 30-year-old hook and eye closures from the textile center reuse store, and I think that's very beautiful.
Yeah, it's awesome. It feels better, like, better than Goodwill, because it's like, this is somebody's grandma's stuff, you know? Like, I inherited my grandmother's knitting needles when she died, and it's great.
Yeah. It's just like someone really cared about like this having a good life, basically being like, I want someone to be able to use this for the thing that it's intended for. Mm-hmm. So it genuinely, it is kind of a PSA. Like, if you have a special interest of some sort, or even just for stuff like, we have a really cool place in the Twin Cities where it's like you can donate any used or broken tech that you have. And then they run a store where you can go, and they just have bins full of like various chargers or, you know, cords that you might need for stuff. And you can just buy an old cord that works, and you can buy weird cords there, which sometimes you need if you're hooking stuff up, guys, which I think was a normal thing.
What you hooking up?
I don't know. You know, if you're living a certain kind of lifestyle.
If you're living a certain kind of lifestyle. Yeah. Yeah. Were you talking about buying old iPods the other day? Weren't we getting nostalgic for like first-gen iPods?
I have my iPod class sitting right here.
Is that click wheel?
It's a click wheel, guys. Wow. Yeah. Cause I'm trying to get off of fucking Spotify. Anyway, genuinely, it's a PSA. Like, it's like, if there's something you like or you need, like, just look in your city and be like, is there a weird little store that is selling a used version of this? There probably is. And it can be really cool. And it's really good. It's good for our planet. And it's good for your heart as well. So.
Reduce, reuse,
recycle. People talk so much about the recycle part.
I know. And they really just as important. Reduce, reuse. I know.
Actually much more important, given that a lot of recycling is made up.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they're lying to you about your cardboard boxes.
Yeah. It's just starting to make me a little less happy. So it might be good. No, you're right, Anne. You're completely right. It's just horrible to think about. It's really hard to think about. God, what are we doing to our beautiful planet? Okay, so that's what's making me happy are the used textiles. I got some beautiful silks. Actually, I bought something that was marked as cotton/silk ? And it was only $20 for a lot of fabric. Wow. And when I was checking out, the woman was looking at it. She's rubbing it between her fingers and she goes, I'm sure this is silk. You're getting an amazing deal. And that's the hottest thing that I'd heard in like a year. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. An amazing deal on this silk.
What are you going to do with it?
I don't fucking know. I don't know. I've got to make some.
It's going back to the textile place in 15 years.
Literally. I heard someone say at one point, they were like, anytime you buy something, like, it can be helpful to just be like, I'm now a steward of this object. Like, it's not like if I throw it out, its steward is throwing it out. You know, it's like you have a responsibility to the object. And that is how I feel about my various used textiles I've collected and haven't done anything with. I'm like, well, I'm a steward of these textiles. And if the time comes when they must leave me, I will find someplace very safe to go where they will be valued. They'll be loved and valued and used by another. Mm-hmm. And of course, and I'm pumping money into my local
economy. Of course, that's incredibly important. Shop local, also a very important principle.
Please, please shop local. Please reduce. Please reuse. And please just take recycling with a grain of salt. So on that note, do you guys want to talk about Tony Khan's 4-hour super special, Babysitter's Club super special?
It was so fat. Just takes up all that room on your shelf.
Such a big super special. But it was actually pretty much as juicy as you'd like a super special to be.
It was, actually, yeah. I do wish the wrestlers all wrote, like, introductory journal entries before each segment that we could read out in their handwriting. Oh, my God.
You know what they should be doing that for? The Jericho Cruise. Because so many of those super specials were, like, the babysitters go on a cruise. Like, a Babysitter's Club-themed Jericho Cruise where all of the wrestlers have to post on the website before the cruise their kickoff, like, journal. And then actually they should have to post them throughout the cruise as well.
I agree. A Babysitter's Club-themed Jericho Cruise has such a specific audience.
But if there's one thing we've learned since we started podcasting, there's more of us out there than many wrestling fans would think.
It's true. There are dozens of us.
We're powerful, and we love pumping money into our local economy.
When are we going on that Jericho cruise, girls?
You know, Could be next year.
Could be next year.
Could be next year. When did they start selling those tickets?
I don't know. Whenever they do, it's like we've always lucked out and been in a weird place with Jericho because it's like by the time the cruise starts, we're like, oh man, we should have gone to that, but not when they're selling tickets.
Yeah.
I know. Well, we can't. I guess we're in the weird place of not being able to see Jericho right now. And may I say, I wish you were on my screen.
I know.
Manny will not like to hear it, but I wouldn't mind seeing Jericho right now.
Bring him back.
Bring him back. Okay, well, I guess we'll...
Oh, my God. I went to the Jericho Cruise site, and so I'm looking at, like, the lineup, and it's like, you know, Will Ospreay and Tony Storm are the two headliners. That's awesome. They also have a line that's Ship's Magician, and it's Nigel McGuinness.
Do you think he'll bring his husband? Do you think that he gets to bring his partner?
I mean, you'd think, right?
Oh, my God. I would kill. I would kill to see a show that's Nigel McGuinness doing magic and Tony being the magician's assistant who has to keep being like showing him off.
Oh, my God. I'm going to stroke it. I'm so happy thinking about that. After all the things we've said about close-up magic on this podcast, on this very podcast. Yeah. No, I love close-up magic. And I can't wait to see Nigel McGuinness do it on the Babysitter's Club themed Jericho Cruise.
Oh my God, I'm trying to find out when they, I'm still so mad we didn't go on the year that OC and his friends were there, but.
I know, that would have been an unsafe situation for us.
For sure, yeah. I can't tell when tickets are available.
Following them around the cruise like Harriet the Spy, but we'd never interact even when it's appropriate to do so.
They keep seeing something out of the corner of their eye and like turning their head real fast and we're not even there.
Ask like, you know, do you know the way to the pool? They surprise us. They ask how to get somewhere. We start crying, Donald Glover style. Anyway, well, we're filibustering now, girls. So let's get down to business. Vice Principal Christopher Daniels opened Summer Blockbuster in the middle of addressing all our concerns about the Hang Jealous storyline with Hangman himself. They were mid-conversation, and Christopher Daniels was being like, listen, Hangman, I know it's a one-on-one match at All In, which is what we've been pointing out, but there's a lot of time until All In. There's a lot of Death Riders, and you're only one man, and you might need some other men, and, you know, if you don't make it to All In, you can't win All In. That's a very good point, Christopher Daniels, and I think you framed that in a much more normal way than some have.
It's so true, yeah.
I think that was a really normal way to frame what's going on here.
There's a reason he's on the faculty and administration and not a student.
That is so true. That is a man with a graduate school degree. He said, no matter what the Bucks say to you to your face, you know they're only in it for themselves. You know, I'd be there for you if I could, but I can't because you ended my career. Which they seem to have overcome off screen.
They do seem to have overcome it off screen. Yeah. It was very funny because it was like such a logical little conversation between two men who it's like, oh, I knew Hangman felt bad. I didn't know they were talking. I didn't know they were hanging out again. That's
I know. Nice. Like, would they have killed, would it have killed us, killed them to have Hangman and CD have one conversation where Hangman, like, you don't even have to, like, film it so that we can hear it. Just like in the distance, you just see them having a serious conversation and then like they hug. You know what I mean? And then I'd be like,
more of that stuff in the background.
In the background. If they were doing stuff like that in the background, this would be my favorite show of all time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That'd be great. I did think I was like, this would have happened in the past, this would have happened on BT. Yeah. They would have, and that would have worked as well. But we don't have that anymore. And nobody will do fun stuff in the background for us. So, you know, we are where we are. Anyway, but he said, I've got other friends in this locker room. They'll have your back. And there are guys here who do have some harsh feelings about you. You might want to try and rectify that situation. It was like, that could be, I'm not even sure if that's pointed or if it's just like you were kind of rampaging around for a year. So yeah, people aren't happy about that. Hangman looked contemplative and left. The camera keeps panning behind him, and there's a man who kind of looks like he's peeing on a wall in the background. And then he turns around, skulkily around, and who could it be but Mr. John Moxley himself.
It worked perfectly on me because I didn't notice him at all. And so when he turned around, to me, it felt like he was like dressed the same color as the wall and like turned around.
It worked great on me, but because I saw him very clearly, I was like, some dumbass in the crew, like, accidentally is in the shot, and he's trying to, like, push himself into the wall to get out of the shop, and he's right there, because it's our garbage can promotion, and then I was like, John Moxley! I was Lucille Bluth with Gene Parmesan.
Yeah, I thought this kicked off a real great night for Mox. We'll get into that more later. But the mode that he's in right now, I'll say, is really working for him.
He has us writing for the Death Riders. Absolutely. Yeah. Who could accuse them of doing anything wrong when Mox is making these faces?
Well, I think they are doing things wrong, but I love watching in this mode, I love watching it. I just don't think they're crimes, Leah. Let's be very careful.
Not me. I've absolved them.
Because classically, she loves to say that criminals are fine.
It's like Sims burglar body language is so
100%.
Funny. 100%. And I think someone in one of our wrestling discourse had like linked to a TikTok of a guy who watched AEW for the first time. I think it was like a longtime wrestling fan, but he came in with a real like, it was a real pleasant like, oh, I checked it out and here are the things I liked. And it was just like, it was real nice. But one of those things, he was like, John Moxley selling is so funny. I really enjoyed that. And I was like, it is funny.
It is funny.
Yeah. Thank you for seeing and affirming the comedy that he's doing.
You know, the thing is, it's like, it does feel like There was a period where it was serious and it was working. Short.
Yes.
And then there was a period where it was serious and it wasn't working.
Yeah.
Longer. And then there was a period where it was funny by accident, you thought? Yeah. But you were like, I think it's supposed to be serious, so it's not working.
Yeah.
Now it seems to be funny on purpose, and that's the sweet spot, baby. I'm right back around. The looking like a dickhead continuum, we're right back around looking pretty cool. Looking pretty fucking cool.
Yep.
Great work. Okay, so we've established that... we've established more clearly why any of this is going on, kind of.
Yeah. I thought this was really successful in terms of, like, making the case that Hangman does, in fact, need people. And then also making, like, the Death Riders are after him, you know, and, like, later we'll get into more of that, too. But I think they made it much more like, oh, they are a threat and, so that I thought was nice to see them see a little plot hole and then fill it themselves with that.
Fill it themselves, right? You can just go. You can go to the Home Depot, but you can buy your own. Probably, I guess, but I don't think you're supposed to use that in like a wall,
a hole in a wall. No, it's more like spackle.
Patch kit. You can buy your own patch kit.
How big the hole is.
We've been to Home Depot.
We are familiar with the aisles of Home Depot.
You can buy your own spackle and patch kit. They can afford it at AEW, and they just fill the hole themselves. We don't always have to do it for them. We'll do it for some other stuff tonight, though, I think.
For sure, yeah.
Okay, so we transition from this segment, as I strip off, we transition into Swerve and Ospreay with a 30-minute time limit, which I didn't notice because it turns out I've completely stopped processing when they tell me that there's a time limit on a match, unless they hammer it home a little more. I'm not trying to I'm not trying to complain. I thought it was fine. It was fine. But I didn't notice the entire match until the end.
I know. I do think, and like many other people have said this, but I do think it would be smarter than to just put up a little timer in the bottom of the screen for like all matches, even when they're not going to a draw.
And I agree.
Just, you know.
Normalize it a little more so it doesn't, you know. Yeah. Anyway, so, okay. They come out. They have their little entrances. Ospreay's in his feathers. Swerve has this, like, snakeskin pleather trench or something. It was a real look. I mean, and the contrast between that and the feathers I thought was quite entrancing. I enjoyed it.
I like when they, I don't know that they did necessarily coordinate this, but I do like when the enemies or, you know, opponents have sort of nicely contrasting looks.
Nicely contrasting, but of course a snake and a bird have much in common as well.
So true.
They both lay eggs.
That's the biggest thing, That's the biggest thing, baby.
Everyone was thinking it, so I just had to say it.
Did you guys grow up I was PBS household, as you know, and so we watched a lot of Sesame Street, and Sesame Street had this one segment that they did that was the song Let's Fall in Love, but except it was Let's Lay an Egg. So it's like, birds do it, bees do it, do it, let's do it, let's lay an egg. And I sing it to myself all the time to this day. You can damage a child even with public television, okay?
Many don't know that, but...
Did you have state-branded public television? Like, we had KET, which is Kentucky.
Yeah, we had WHYY.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Just as you were saying that, I was like, we watched a lot of KET, and I was like, did she have DET, Delaware Educational Television?
No, WHYY, but I don't know what that stands for, actually. I have no idea. But I know that they depended on the kindness of viewers like me.
Oh, sure, yeah.
To keep things running behind the scenes. Don't you want a tote bag? God, I honestly loved when they did fundraising, because that was when they would play some of my special favorites, like the Simon and Garfunkel concert in Central Park. That only came out for fundraising.
Wow.
And that's a little insider. Okay, let's move on. Okay, so... They're facing off in the ring. Swerve comes to the center of the ring, extends his hand. Osprey is kind of seems to be considering whether or not to take his hand. Eventually, they shake. Wrestling commences. Very fast, 30 minutes. I mean, I thought this match flew by.
Oh, yeah. It never felt like 30 minutes ever.
It was crazy. Yeah. When suddenly, like, the bell rang when Swerve was standing on the ropes, I was like, wait, what's happening? What's happening?
I think we all were. Like, we all clearly were looking at our clocks. Like, wait, but we just got here. We just started. Yeah.
Gun to my head, I would have called it, like, 17 minutes.
Yeah. And I thought it was a really good match. Like, not a doctor, but parts of it, to me, felt a little similar to the Hangman match in the, again, like, Ospreay kind of occasionally seemed like, I'm going to do my high flyer stuff. And Swerve's vibe was a little bit like, no, you're going to have a fucking fight with me right now. Yeah. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that right now.
Yeah. I find it so horny too that Ospreay got a bloody nose like so early on, especially because it's like, oh, that's a real fight. He didn't do that with a little razor blade. That's ooh, amazing. That to him.
Amazing face on him right now. What did you bring in here? That commentary said, of course we can but speculate about Osprey's nose right now. I was like, yeah, I guess always we can only but speculate about anybody's nose.
I was also losing it because there was a moment where they zoomed in on Swerve as he was looking at Osprey, and he just took like a little like horse inhale as he was like looking at Osprey, and I was like, oh, I love that. I love that little like move from him. Like, it just felt very horny. And in my ear, Ian Riccoboni goes, and Swerve breathing through the nose might be travel stuff.
Commentary's trying to desperately to dehorn everything they possibly can. I always get such a kick out of Ian Riccoboni, who I really have no strong feelings about at all, but whenever they cut to commentary table, it's like, who is this pale little accountant they got out here?
I know. I think... In real life, he has a good personality, so I try not to be mean, but I actually can't stand his commentary, and I'm all really? Shut up, Ian.
I don't like it, but I'm always just kind of like, this. I don't know you, who is this?
Why are you even here?
It's irrational, yeah.
I love it, it's like, we see something we don't understand, bully it immediately.
get off my screen.
I hate you, you're not my real mom. I want Tony Schiavone back. Well, commentary, they're just like, we got to keep these girls under control. We have to pour a little cold water on the situation when we can. You don't have to. You don't have to.
You can just let us watch him breathe through his nose and think our own thoughts instead of being like, oh, maybe he picked up something on the plane. Is it COVID? What are the COVID numbers like?
Oh my God. Could be an Omicron surge.
Yeah. Ian Riccoboni, if you say the words wastewater to me, I think I'll freak out.
I would freak out, but maybe not for this. I think I'd be kind of like thrilled at the strangeness if I heard Ian Riccoboni say wastewater numbers to me. Okay, I don't know where we are. Anyway, yeah, so basically they're both really fucked up, and Osprey's like lying on the apron, I think, or he's fallen onto the floor at this point, and Swerve is kind of like very slowly trying to clamber up onto the ropes to get a little hit on him, and then time goes, no time left, and so then Swerve hops on the mic and he's like, We're the best wrestlers and the best wrestler, AEW. AEW's we're the best wrestlers, what he said. That's our slogan, I guess, somehow. He said, the only way to prove you're the best is to finish matches, damn it. Well, I'm messed up pretty bad. And as you can see, you are too. Chaz, like, you can't see.
It's so funny to be like, as you can see, you're beat up. I know. I think he probably feels it more than anything.
I know. It was a little misslip, but you got it. You know, it's funny. Love it. Funny yeah. stuff.
Love it.
His eyes are closed. He can't see shit. He said, but I know the man you are. You really want to beat me right now, don't you? Let's go sudden death. And Ospreay, gamely, just like this, the sweet little puppy he is like, oh my God, fetch another one? Okay. he's clambering to his feet unsteadily. Mox's music hits, Death Riders come out, surround the ring. So they're Swerve and Nana are kind of like, oh God, we're surrounded. And then they get snuck up on by the Young Bucks, who run into the ring and start beating up Swerve. And they're EVP triggering Swerve and Nana. They break out. What could it be? Just two sets of handcuffs, certainly. And it's 8:30 p.m. on a...
This
Wednesday?
Was the point.
Why not?
This was the point where I was like, Tony, you know you have 4 hours. You have 4 hours. Do you really want to get me this hot this soon?
And I think he didn't. I mean, he honestly, it's a miracle that things went as well for him for the first 2 hours as they did after he absolutely blew his load in the first 45. I mean, just it went everywhere. They break out these handcuffs. They handcuff Swerve to the ropes by the turnbuckle. They're still kicking him. Cut to Jon Moxley. Can somebody talk to me about the face on Mr. Jon Moxley as this is going down?
Just picture the most mommy's little ham face you can and then turn it up like 10 notches, I think.
Yeah. Just this little, like, his eyes just go sideways and then he's just like, whoa.
This is the kind of face that should have, like, definitely a trombone noise and, like, a cartoon graphic behind it. Like, whoop!
I believe in the moment you called him the mayor of Toontown, which I loved.
Immediately it's just like, yeah, that's his era. He's in his mayor of Toontown era now. I was obsessed with it. It was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. I shrieked with laughter.
Yeah.
Immediate. And honestly, later in the show, Matt Jackson tries to reclaim the Mommy's Little Ham Award. He's like, how on my re-debut episode, how dare you try to give it to someone else? I'm sorry to say, Mox is still getting it. Mox is still getting it for the faces that he made throughout the show.
I mean, he really didn't leave any room for anyone else with the work he was doing.
Eight
I just
pulled
down
crumbs.
To look at the second screenshot again and just about snorted.
It's so funny. We'll post these.
Between that and the hiding against the wall from the beginning, I'm like, I'm so sorry, Matt. You know, like, we are going to praise you today, but
of course,
Ham Award, it's got to go to Mox.
Yeah, it's just the best guy on the day. You know, it doesn't mean anything in the long run.
It won't take away from your 875 days as champ.
You'll always have those. We'll always have Paris. Okay, now where am I? Oh, yeah, so he's like, okay, Claudio or Yuta, give him the bag. Like, he does a little beckon. And Yuta puts his bag in there, and the Young Bucks open the bag, and the bag has Swerve's special limited edition shoes, Allen Iverson shoes, Reebok, maybe? Could be different. What are they?
I think they are Reebok. I think you're right.
What the fuck? Nice. Guys, marketing works.
Okay, sneakerhead.
Thank you so much. I'm probably wrong now. I'm Googling. No, it is Reebok. Look at that.
Wow. Okay, well, they've thumbtacked the shoes. They put the thumbtack shoes on. Matt Jackson is saying, you want to mess with us? You're a dead man. And they go to kick Swerve with the thumbtack shoes. And at the last second, who should dive? Perfectly in front of the kick and take it to the face. It's little Will Ospreay. It's little sweetie baby Will Ospreay. He says, somebody needs me to take a punch for them.
Their timing, everybody involved in that, the timing was absolutely perfect. It would have been so easy to fuck up, but it was perfect. I didn't see Asprey coming, and then he just slid into the screen, and I fucking lost it because all I could think about was Allie from last week being like, mm-hmm. "Asprey, you take a bullet for a fly."
Yeah, and then he fell backwards dramatically into Swerve's like open handcuffed arms.
It was the shot of a lifetime. I literally gasped. I said, "Oh my god, love." I'm seeing love. That's what love looks like. So that, and it wasn't a fly. It's his literal best friend. Now, we've all pointed out that Osprey's said that a lot, and Swerve has not responded in kind, even once.
And his vibe at all times is like, Osprey's like, you're my best friend. I tell you everything. You tell me everything. We're going to be best friends forever and ever and ever. And we'll probably name our kids after each other. And Swerve is like, I know who that man is.
Yeah, I've seen you around.
Commentary keeps being like, Swerve's been a real mentor for him for the last 20 years. And I'm like, Osprey just pulls him aside like before the match. And isn't there a fact check process here? Like, does anyone run this by Swerve before they just get out here and say things?
I'm obsessed.
I can see your sources.
I'm obsessed with Osprey pulling commentary aside and being like, I need you to hit some stuff. Listen, it's so important that you talk about me and Swerve. That we've been best friends forever. And like Swerve has no idea this is happening. And Tony's like, oh, that's color. That's helpful. I didn't know that though. And Osprey's like, yeah, no, write it down.
Yeah.
We've been friends 20 years.
Tony.
And Tony's like, oh, like is Swerve, where's Swerve? I'll talk to him about it too. Maybe he has more color. And Wilson's like, No, it's fine.
I think
he's really busy right now.
He doesn't like to talk about it. You know, he's a little sensitive, but you shouldn't bring it up to him, but you should definitely say it tonight. Say it a lot.
Say it.
I love that the energy is like, and if commentary says it, then it will be true. I just have to trick commentary into saying it. They can make anything true.
And if anyone would believe that, it's Little Osprey.
Oh, it'd be Sweet Little Osprey. Yeah, I love it. Okay, so then the Bucks skedaddled some great hamming from Matt Jackson up by the heel tunnel. The bad boy hole.
Great second place hamming.
Wonderful. So close, but at the same time, quite far away, actually. Quite far, because you're not, you know, if you get into a piss fight with the mayor of Toontown.
Yeah. It's just like, what are you going to do? You could do a lot, but.
You're not going to piss harder than him. So great hole. Everything about this. Great. All right.
And Swerve looked, I think taking this shot for Swerve did go quite a long way for him, because Swerve looked so mad about it, and then he was, hovering outside.
He was in med bay. Yeah, we'll get to it, but
we'll
he was in med bay.
It, yeah. He even there in the ring with the doctors, he did, it looked like the first time that he was like, wow, Will Ospreay is a human being. And he saved my life. He saved my face from some thumbtacks. Who knows what those could have done to me?
This is the moneymaker.
No, the whole thing's the moneymaker, baby.
Oh, you, the whole thing.
Every single part.
Don't worry about that. Yeah.
And Will Ospreay, if you have a couple of thumbtack scars, I think that could be good for you. For your, you know, you could look really like chick stick scars and... That's what I hear.
You're like Ron Swanson. Like, and women will assume you got it in an attack. Yeah.
Well, he did.
He did.
But from just two little guys.
But from the Young Bucks.
From the Young Bucks. Yeah. All right. Okay, so later in the show, we've been told by commentary, I think we've made it into Collision at this point. We've been told that we're supposed to hear from Hangman. Hangman's music hits. But Hangman himself does not emerge from the bad boy hole. Instead, the Death Riders emerge, kicking his bound and gagged body. Wow. You don't see that every day.
No,
I thought I'd seen a lot of things in wrestling, and I have. But this was a new level.
Yeah,
this
that was crazy. Something. I sat up. I'm not afraid to say it.
Yeah. Might have already been sitting up. I don't know what I was doing body wise, but mentally, I certainly said, "Aha! What spy I hear?"
I had one of those patented Leah, I became a woman moments, pretty strongly.
Oh my God, and finally a woman.
I know. I've been waiting for it. Are you there, God? Yeah.
It's just me, Anne. It's my hot Anne Summer. And I saw a bound and gagged man get kicked out of a tunnel.
Yeah, we're there.
All right. So the Death Riders are shoving and kicking and rolling Hangman, and they're kicking and trussing and kneeing him all the way into the ring. And they've got knees in the small of his back in ways that it's like, you can't show that. You can't do it. Claudio, stop. You can't. Claudio.
Again, it's not even 9 p.m.
I know. When is Watershed? You know what I mean? Like,
I think it's 10 o'clock, you know?
It's before. Well before.
This is like that John Mulaney bit about how Law & Order SVU airs at 3 p.m. and it's like, the semen was where?
It's true that when I finally watched all of Law & Order SVU last year, mm-hmm. I was just like, wow, and we're watching this all the time in this country?
It's full time. It's
troubling.
When I was in my Law & Order SVU phase, I said to my brother one time, like, I've been watching a lot of Law & Order SVU. I don't know why. And he was like, because it's on. I was like, I mean, yeah, pretty much, you know. Just turn on the television. And it's on a channel, one of them.
That is so true. I mean, for me, I didn't have that excuse because I was going into the app. I mean,
no,
it was
2006. Yeah.
Choice. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a little different. Yeah. We had channels back then. God, that was a different time. We still had channels.
Different time with the channels. Yeah. I miss it.
miss it real bad. All right. Kicking and rolling and trussing in the ring. And Mox comes on into the ring and he grabs a mic and he says, and honestly, I thought this delivery was really good.
Oh, yeah.
It was. Yeah.
Because I loved it.
It was walking the line of, it was Mayor of Toontown, but there was a real kind of psychological quality there, too, somehow.
Yes. We were back to cult leader, but in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really animated felt like, cult leader.
Yeah. And it was back to, like, the other, like, Mox Hangman feuds that were really good, where you're like, oh, I feel like we're back to Mox, like, doing some good promo work and... still incorporating Mayor of Toontown energy, which you wouldn't think would work together, but it did.
It was unexpected, but it was kind of everything. I think I saw someone say, so I'm sorry if it was you. It really felt like, oh yeah, Mox understands Hangman. And that's coming through in this promo. Mm-hmm. Like there's a real genuine connection between these characters. So he says, I'm terribly sorry about all this. It's just that I want to make sure we can have a real conversation. You know how distracted you can get. Your head's all over the place. You're a bimbo.
And his his tone in this was like, it was condescending in a weird way. Yeah. Where he, like the way he was emphasizing it, where he was just like, you know how distracted you can get. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to horn out.
Yeah.
It was crazy because, like, yeah, condescending usually makes me, like, kind of mad. Like, when Will Ospreay was being condescending towards Hangman, I was like, shut up. When Mox was doing it, I was like, oh my God, I've never been turned on in my life.
Well, it was very sexual.
Right. Remember when they had that feud and Mox called Hangman kid? And we were like, I think I'm going to be sick.
Ooh, you can't remind me of that right now. All right. Okay. He says, your head's all over the place. We need you focused. These people need you focused. This is your time. AEW World Championship. This is your do or die. I've been watching you for a long time. You're complicated. I'm panting.
So good.
I'm afraid I'm panting like a dog. Like,
it's very like, hey, man, you're Jordan Catalano, you know? I've been watching you, leaning. That's complicated.
What a danger. I mean, it's like you actually do have to be quite sure of yourself before you, a man, say of another man, you are complicated, because that could go so wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And when it goes right, it goes so right, you know? And so he delivers the rest of this speech where I've been watching you for a long time. I don't understand you. You've been searching high and low for something. I don't know what it is you've been searching for, but you have exactly 4 weeks to find it. To step up and become the man that everyone wants you to become. If you're not prepared to do that, you can pack your shit and get the hell out. Hangman surges up and headbutts Mox in his face. It's the head-to-head contest. And then there's more. So the Death Riders are like, you can't do that. Trussing, kicking, shoving. It's all happening more and more. And they get a little steel chair in there too. And perhaps all is over for poor Hangman. No, the ops run out for the save. And then the ops are there. And it is totally normal in the storyline for them to be there. And yet every time I see the ops, I say, you guys.
What? I know. I have no object permanence with them in the storyline, like, at all. But as you were describing this, I was like, remember back when they were being, like, a serious storyline, but it was working when they kept doing all those, like, consensual BDSM scenes with, like, Orange Cassidy, where they just, like, spread eagle him and, like, pour Windex in his mouth and
stuff? I do remember
that,
and we'd always be
like, why do people keep interrupting these scenes that they're doing? It's not very polite. This one, we're back in the groove, baby.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. No, the ops said, like, he didn't consent to this. You don't know that.
You don't know that.
You're making assumptions. Leave him alone.
When you
let's just see where this plays out. Like, let's see how far Mox will take this. I'm, you know.
Let's give it a little room. He's cooking.
Your vibe right now of the pigeon at Pride skin. Like, throw some bread. Okay. So they run out. The ops run out. And honestly, I will say this is a big win for the ops. I was very happy to see Will Hobbs and Shibata. 2 out of 3 is pretty good for the ops.
That is pretty good.
And then Hangman get on mic. Oh, my God. I can't tell if I'm doing a normal job or not. I think I'm, like, too into it.
I think you are, but I have never personally had so many moments where I was like, where are we? What are we talking about?
I'm in the spin, baby. Hangman hops on the mic. He rips the duct tape off his own mouth. He's had that duct tape on his mouth. Tough. He says, I've come too far and I'm too close for them. No. Oh, God. AEW. I've come too far and I'm too close for them to be the best you've got, because I would ride through death itself to take that world championship. And if I find even one of you tonight, I will take your heads. And then he barged off through the crowd, like going looking for the old Death Riders.
He grabbed a folding chair and then went off after them, which is just a very funny, not very portable weapon, you know?
No. Well, but when you're a big, strong man, you can carry it. And I liked he kind of, someone in the crowd was like, he goes, they went that way? Yeah, thanks.
I love when the crowd points. I know. With Max Caster.
It's yeah. Wow. Great segment.
Perfect.
Yeah. Can't believe it's legal to show that kind of thing. Crazy. Really?
It's really, again, a real, like, so this is for straight men kind of moment, you know? Yeah.
I don't know anymore, you know? I don't really know. I don't know who any of this is for. I don't know. I'm back to, like, what is wrestling, but in a good way, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is the weirdest art form on earth. I can't believe it's allowed.
It's crazy. How did this happen? So, still later in the show, Hangman encounters Renee by... It's labeled the doc/trainer's room. It's medbay, cowards. And just put it.
It felt kind of pointed because we were just like, what is that room even called? There's no way to know. We'll call it medbay. And I felt like AEW is being like, it's called the doc/trainer's room. Okay, go fuck yourself.
How
I'm never
dare
calling
you?
It
First
that.
Of all, how dare you?
I do feel never like call it that.
Keep calling it the medbay, though. Like, in a few months, it might just be medbay up there. You never
That's
know.
That's what I... Baby, that's what I want to see. Because if you think for 1 second that I'm going to start saying they went to the doc trainer's room, you are out your damn gourd. We're on a starship. They went to medbay. Hangman is outside. Renee is outside. Hangman says, he comes up and he's like, how is he? Which I thought was obviously he does mean Osprey, but it was kind of like, it's still like kind of nice to be nonspecific, you know,
yeah.
Where it's just like, unclear antecedent. Renee's like, well, I don't know. I haven't been in there. She gets interrupted by what I've called magical girl Matt Jackson and his normal brother Nick. Because the looks, we didn't even get into the Young Bucks looks in the previous segment. What do you think was happening with Matt's hair?
I thought it was
a little half.
Yeah,
little half
no,
bun?
I thought it was Mickey Mouse ears.
Oh, really?
I think so.
I think it's got to be. I mean, look at how clear it is in this little screenshot.
I guess you're right. Like, I guess I just couldn't. I don't know. Well, I thought that it could be like if you do a little half, like a little
really
half up
bun.
No, you're right that it does look much more clearly like it's like two little buns. But I think I just couldn't get my brain around it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, now I'm looking at it again. I'm like, wait, what's the perspective? Maybe it is a bun that he's done kind of badly, so there's a sticky part of it.
I don't like hearing this. He didn't do anything badly, okay?
Wait, Matt Jackson
has never done anything badly in his life. Let's reframe. Let's talk. Let's use different words. say, you know.
You want some eyes?
Like he did less he good?
He differently bunned.
I feel that he may have done a bad job at his bun.
I won't be taking those kind of words. Not when I have the mute button.
It's possible that he may have
bleep it. The segment's just going to disappear. It's for weeks.
And then it's just a voiceover. Like Matt Jackson had done a perfect hairstyle that no one else on earth could ever have invented. Exactly. What a talented boy he is. looked perfect. I think, though, it wasn't like this in The Ring earlier. This is what people come to the pod for. It's like a real deep dive on this. But like he had one very funny moment because he'd like slicked. It was wet. And it was in a halfback in The Ring. And then at some point he, like, his head went forward and the whole thing flopped over into his face. And I said, that's so silly. And I've been there as a long hair having girl. I've definitely done a little halfback that flop into my face in a funny way. And it looks so silly. But it looked silly perfectly.
Yeah.
The way he does everything.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, the women wrestlers, though, like, very rarely have their hair do something silly. And it's like, are the men not consulting them? Like, they need to sit down with the women and get some little tutorial. The women sometimes know more than you guys.
Often. Something
to think about. Often. Most of the time.
So.
There was that. And then the neckline of the shirt expands every week, which I'm fucking obsessed with, because now it's no longer just deep, it's also wide, and it's like,
yeah,
we're really getting some area, and I'm like, I love
this. I thought you were gonna say areola.
I did absolutely too.
I said so true, queen.
We are close to areola, true, but it's like I'm being titillated in such a way that I'm like, I don't even mind if he's wearing a shirt. Because to me, I'm like,
that's not a shirt.
Well, he's wearing less and less of a
less
shirt.
Less and less of a shirt. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, this is amazing. This is everything I've ever wanted. He's wearing shirts
that it's like, if I'm a teenage girl at Wet Seal and I come out of the dressing room and I'm like, Mom, I love this one. And she's like, that's a scrap. You're not buying that. There can't even be a tag on that, Alexandra. Someone tore that off a garment and it's just on a floor. And it's a real garment and it costs $30 and I need it. I never bought anything at Wet Seal, but it was fun to see what was going on in there. All right. So, okay, where are we? We're just talking about the, you know. Yeah. Okay. They say, oh my God, Hangman, are you okay? We had no idea that Mox was going to do that potentially non-consensual in-ring BDSM with you. But who knows? Could have been consensual. I said all that. And Hangman said, you tell me why in 5 words I shouldn't take both your heads off. Matt attitudinally says, we were aiming for swerve.
He said it in the exact, I was just going to say that, the exact tone of out for a walk, bitch.
Yep.
Perfect.
I do feel like I'm getting more and more into territory where I like the celebrities are talking to me through the TV. They're wearing deeper and deeper V's for us.
Yeah.
We're having a collective hallucination. We're like, and then they turned around, looked at the camera and said, that's for you, girls. Thank you so much. Thank you for my delicious Buffy slop. I loved it. I loved my slop. I loved everything about this. Yeah, so Matt's like, well, we've been plaguing Swerve for you. We cleared the path for you. Now you can go win the title. You can bring it back to the Elite. That's the whole plan. Like, and it's an amazing plan because I came up with it and I'm perfect. And Hangman says, what plan? There's no plan. There was never any plan. I haven't talked to you in months. I didn't ask you to do what you did at Dynasty. I didn't ask you to do what you did tonight. I can't believe I'm having to tell you to do this again, but stay out of my business. Stay out of Osprey's business. Long pause, and then quieter and more uncertainly, and stay out of Swerve's business.
Ooh.
The face. This is the moment where Matt Jackson said, "I can still win. I can still win the MLH. I still have, because the face he made was classic elite melodrama." Matt Jackson of like, "Oh, you say what about Swerve?"
I have been mainlining season 2 of The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, and I have been seeing a lot of shocked faces as somebody says something snotty, and I swear to God, he could fit right in.
Oh, yeah.
He would be great on
power
that show.
Power player.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Power player.
Those constant pajamas and, going to burlesque shows.
God, I'd love to see it.
Also, how often do you think the Young Bucks have heard the phrase, I can't believe I'm having to tell you two this again?
It was so funny because I was like, you can believe it. Like, it's like the thing thing is, you can believe it, and you'll have to tell them again, and you'll have to tell them again, and you'll be telling them again your entire lives, because you're in that special category of man who will never be free.
You'll never be free. Bucks. And also, like, as Kenny said, they're two little dogs who won't stop shitting on the floor. They'll never stop shitting on the floor. You'll never convince them to stop shitting on the floor. No. And yet, there they are. They're in your life.
And you can drive them back to the pound as many times as you want. Like, they know your scent.
They'll find you. When they want you, they'll find you.
Hangman's just helplessly in his living room like, no bark, no bark. It doesn't work at all.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Okay, so then he said, Hangman says, if you... I don't know. If I ever burn down a home again, it'll be because I trapped the two of you in a bird.
That was the moment where I was like, okay, that was rude.
But he said, they're good boys. Those are my good boys.
Hey, that's going a little far.
You know,
they're an intermediary stage where you could punish them like a little bit. Maybe they can sit on a step for a time period is equal to their age.
Yeah, say no bark to them one more time. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah, it's definitely going to work this time. Oh, get them one of those little spritz collars that spritzes a scent they don't like when they bark. That'll work. No, we need a cleansing fire.
Scent. Hangman's spraying like that bitter apple spray, but they're the dogs that don't mind it at all. They still chew through all his cords.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, there's two of them, too. So it's like you put a bark collar on one of them, the other chews it off. You know what I mean? Yeah, they're more powerful together, better together. Yeah. Anyway, and so then you see Prince Nana's head little pokes out of Med Bay, and then he goes back into Med Bay, and he says, boss, did you hear that? And Swerve saying, I don't know, maybe I could get mommy's little hymn. Well, you never could, but I thought you did a really nice job. He goes, every word.
Ooh, shivers went up my spine. Unbelievable.
This was so
everyone
good.
Here cooked.
Yes.
Yeah. Everyone cooked.
Everyone got an A+ for everything
including
that happened.
Will Ospreay just lying there getting worked on, getting prepared.
Yeah. And also including Renee, who had been normally standing there with the microphone. And then when Hangman exploded, she went, whoo, and like disappeared off
just
camera.
Like skedaddles right off screen. It's so funny.
Good for her.
You're right, Renee.
You're right. All right. So that's everything that happened. I think how long have we been here? 2 hours? I mean, it was Tony said, girls, I know you're really unhappy. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get a lot of what you like. And I liked the lot of what I liked that I got. I was extremely happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where the story is doing so many things that I like. It's just like the soap operas for men, the homoeroticism, the BDSM, the overhearing stuff. I mean, that's
I love it.
Furthering
Mormon wives stuff.
Yeah,
furthering the plot,
but not too much. Just yeah, little, not too much. Just little enough. Steps. We're not moving too fast.
A little more every week, and they learn a little more every week about how they feel. I think it's very, you know, it's simple but effective to be like every week something happens that makes everyone involved be like, I'm having to think one little thing differently about the people here, like, you know, in the storyline with me. They're good. That's what you want.
Yeah.
You have to think something
different.
They're pacing
it really nicely where I'm not like, oh, there have been 10 segments, but nothing has happened. Or like, wow, they really turned on a dime. Like if they want to reconcile Hangman and Swerve, they have to put the work in and they're putting
it. Yeah. And they're doing it. Right.
Yeah. And I do just love one of you just called out, you know, it's like people are overhearing stuff. God, I love that. I have such a little weakness for it. I think people should really be overhearing stuff more often and then being like, oh, and now I have to know the thing I overheard. Because for Swerve, it's like a fun little complicated thing to be like, okay, so Hangman didn't know, which I do believe that he knew in his heart that Hangman wasn't lying.
Yeah.
But then it is like a double down, like, okay, well, if I can't take that out on Hangman, so maybe I'll double take it out on the Young Bucks?
Yeah.
I mean, that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And to have sort of like kind of like fretting over Ospreay, like it seemed like he was just in there kind of pacing, you know, while he's getting worked on. And then to like overhear some like sort of devastating knowledge about his like nemesis who hasn't been plotting against him when they've had these like I know moments and stuff.
Ooh la la.
Mm-hmm.
So ooh la la. Great time. Anything else you want to say about any of that?
No, it's fantastic. It's so nice to have this storyline taking up a lot of space on the shows.
It makes me much more amiable about the other things that are going on because I'm just sort of like, but we'll always have this.
Once you've been fed, like, you're not, like, rampaging through the grocery store, throwing everything that you find into the cart, you know? Yeah. It's like, you're happy. You're sitting there. Had a nice little snack. All right. Well, speaking of, I think, you know, now we must address our flip side, girls. We got a backstage segment with Renee talking to Okada. She said, "You and Kenny have had some of the most legendary matches in all of pro wrestling history. This will be the first time on American soil. Is this version of Okada ready for this version of Kenny Omega?" Before Okada can answer, Don Callis interrupts to be like, "Why the fuck does Okada get to fight Kenny and not my beautiful pink son Kyle Fletcher or his husband Takeshita? I have two powerful boys who should be fighting Kenny, not you. This makes me sick." Okada kind of gets up in Don Callis' face, calls him bitch. The whole Don Callis family has showed up to kind of back Don up. Later in the show, we get a much hyped video package recapping Okada and Kenny's long storied rivalry and past matches. Does one of you want to, let me pass the buck. Why do you want to explain this video package?
It was, they did a great job on it in terms of like the production value. It was very entertaining to watch.
I love the lighting.
I did think the voiceover had a real parody quality.
I thought it sounded like it was. Now I feel like a conspiracy theorist, but I'm like AI robot. That's a Siri. That's not a person.
Maybe like today, I realized what it was reminding me of. And do you remember on Parks and Rec when Ben Wyatt made the attack ad for Leslie Knope? And they're like, in a world.
Yeah. It did have that a little bit. Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead, Leah. Sorry.
Yeah. No, but it was just sort of a recap of the matches they've had. And I think, you know, I saw a lot of responses for it. And the people who had seen the matches the first time.
Yeah.
Really felt invigorated. That like they were like, you know, this makes me all excited all over again. That was the best of times, and now they're bringing it back. I'm very excited. And I'm like, those people were already excited, so I don't know that was the audience. But then at the same time, I don't know. I actually hit a weird place during this, and we can talk about it. But I just like somewhere in the middle of the package, I was like, I think that I need to stop wanting it to be different.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be. And at a certain point, you just have to be like, I don't think this movie's for me.
Yeah. The way that I thought, I had the same moment, and I thought about it in terms of like sometimes when you're in a writing workshop, someone will keep bringing the same thing back and you'll like give feedback and then they'll bring it back and you'll be like, same thing. And like you'll give the feedback. And then eventually it's just like, well, I have to stop giving feedback on this because there's something about you don't want to do the thing that I want. And I think I feel like a little self-conscious actually, because lots of people want, like, you know, people that we like are like, guys, we want you to understand like how cool this is. And I'm like, I want to understand how cool this is. And I feel self-conscious about the fact that I'm like, and I can't. Yeah. I mean, I understand. This is the thing I'll say about the video package. Beautiful lighting. And I did 100%. I was like, yeah, I can see how good this wrestling is. I know that when they, I can see that when they get in the ring together, magic happens. I believe that at All In, they will have a totally banger match. And I'm like, and I'm sure that it will be like psychologically interesting and legible in the ring. Like I want to be clear that I'm not being like, and there won't be a story and it's only story if it's outside the ring. No, I 100% believe that there will be a story in the ring, but they don't want to tell a story outside the ring in the way that we are thinking about stories and talking about stories. And I think the thing like that's kind of evidence that for me, or like a way of framing it, is Renee saying like, is this version of Okada ready for this version of Kenny Omega? And I said, who is this version of Okada and who is this version of Kenny Omega? No, I don't understand who either of you are or what has been driving you at this company recently. Like, and there are questions that you could answer in the context of this feud that I think would probably make me be like, okay, now I'm interested in this feud. Like, Okada, why did you come here?
Right.
What did you want out of your time here? Kenny wasn't here when you got here, right? I think that's right. Now he is. Like, did that change? Like, was him his not right. being here? Did that mean something to you? That'd and then when he gets here, does that mean something to you? Like,
right.
that mm-hmm. is a that's a seems to me to be like a very easy way in to me being like, okay, I'm connecting to who these people are psychologically you said
that,
right now,
and I immediately was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, yeah, tell me that. Like, suddenly I'm drawn in, but. Yeah, it really felt like this video package was, like, trying to convince me that they were good at wrestling and it was going to be a good match, which is, like, I've never doubted for a second either of those things. But it didn't give me anything about their characters or, you know, it just was, like, they both really wanted to be the best wrestler and then they really battled it out to find out who's the best wrestler and who's the best wrestler now. And it's, like... Well, that's like of limited interest.
It's of limited interest, but it's like it could be of a lot of interest. Yeah, and this is the kind of thing where I'm like not fully understanding whatever was going on psychologically. I do understand the matches more than I did because many have explained it now and the package explained it. But like it could be very interesting to be like they both wanted to be the top dog and they were fighting over that. And then Kenny leaves and goes to a total another promotion. Mm-hmm. And then Okada comes to that promotion.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, I don't know anything. So it's like, you know, I could be the idiot saying, even suggesting this. But it's like, did Okada come here because it's like, you became a benchmark of my own success? Like,
yeah.
right.
did I want to be at the place where you were so I could be explicitly better than you? Like, does success mean anything to me if I'm not beating you? Like, that's interesting.
Right.
Yeah. That'd be a great thing to explore. And it, yeah, it just, like, I think what Leo said was smart, where it's like, yeah, I think it's probably just not going to be for us. But it is like there are so many sports-based who's the best storylines that I would be invested in, for sure. Sure. Like, we went crazy for the Connie, you know? And I think if anybody was seeming very vulnerable or honestly very interested, like, I don't really get the sense watching Kenny and Okada that they either of them care that much about the other one. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that this is a very, like, Kenny danced with him once before and is excited to dance again. But I think it's really hard to take this storyline seriously when he's telling the stories that we do like to tell with the Bucks. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, he's doing a very emotional, like, you hurt me and now I need to hurt you and I'm obsessed with you thing with the Bucks, which I love.
Yeah.
But then it's like, Okada, who is aligned with the Bucks, he's sort of like, and
who
well,
came in to explicitly take Kenny's spot.
Right.
Like,
right.
they fired Kenny and hired Okada.
Right.
Hired, yeah. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. And so for Kenny to, like, kind of encounter him and have this vibe of, like, well, old friend, shall we dance again? I'm like, I don't really understand what's happening here whatsoever.
Yeah. And then it is when weird in that context because it's like, yeah, he's your replacement. Like, you'd think there'd be a lot more like, what the fuck? Like, you hired my old rival? Like, that's so bitchy, you know?
Or it's like, right. Kenny did give that promo when he came back this time where he was like, I'm letting go of all that emotional shit and I'm just doing great wrestling. So if you're like following through on that, it could be interesting for Kenny to be doing what he's doing if Okada's vibe is like, no, I want you to step up and be like, I want you to care a lot about this.
Yeah.
Because like, I care a lot about this.
Yeah.
Because I came to this promotion so we could do
but
it.
But I don't took your place to provoke you. Yeah, right.
But the problem is I feel like he can't do that if he's also simultaneously engaging with the Bucks and Don Callis. You know what I mean? So I'm like, you haven't given up anything because you're still in these things. You just won't tell me how Okada fits into it.
You mean that Kenny hasn't given up?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, it's like, he can have, but it's like it's two different storylines. One where he's still maintaining, like, no, I have professional focus now.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about my yapping shih tzus. And then another one where he's like, but they're yapping so loudly that it's very difficult not to yell at them.
And a man who's trying to protect his peace and be very professional while being a roiling ball of emotions underneath.
Like, yeah, that's great.
Of course, that's great. Yes, of course, that's great.
If that's what we were portraying,
I'd
be into it.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of jumped the gun. So this is also coming out in, they have this contract signing and they meet in the ring and Tony Schiavone announces that their match is going to be a unification match for the Continental and International belts. And they have this brand new belt that showcases the two of them on it. And I said, you've both had it for like a second. Yeah. And literally, I think Sarah said in one of our shared spaces, she was like, this is offensive to Orange Cassidy. And I said, you're so right, actually.
Someone agreed with her and said, and to Eddie, to too. Eddie. And it's like, yeah, it should be Orange Cassidy's belt merging with Eddie's belt. Like, screw both of you.
Screw both of you. And so they have their contract, and Okada signs the contract, and then Kenny takes the mic and says, and this is where I think this is the moment where I had Leah's moment, where it was just like, well, you guys don't want to do it, and you can lead a horse to water, you cannot make him drink. Kenny said, 7 years almost to the day we had our last match, let's leave it all in the ring. One final time for everything. I'm like, that's what would happen if you told AI, like, write a respectful promo.
I know. I got so excited when it was like, oh, they're just going to sign it without talking. I'm like, okay. And then Kenny grabbed the mic. I was like, oh my God, they're going to talk. And then I was like, well,
that was God.
that was nothing.
Yeah. So he signs match is set. Don Callis comes out, and Kenny is like, I've said, Uncle, you can never feed me powders again. I'm strong now, and I know all your tricks. But he was basically like, Don, you're always trying to get involved, but you have no power over me now. Like, I know all your tricks. And Don Callis said, well, not all of them. And at this point, Okada attacks Kenny from behind. And then I've said here, minutes of ruthless and escalating beatings ensue. With Okada, cleverly, focusing on Kenny's guts, his intestines that come up every other minute in every match that he has, in his weak intestines, and he's elbowing them, and eventually, Kenny puke up blood, real blood,
a real lot of it. Yeah, this was so funny. It just it was so nasty, but it also looked so fake. It was really funny. I was like, I know that's a blood pellet, Kenny. Well,
yeah, and his acting.
I was interested in how it works.
Yeah. Mm. His acting was also super sublime. Where he was just like, ho, ho, ho.
Everybody going for the mommy's little hammer word.
Yeah. It's true, but yeah, they all wanted to win it, but some of them might feel embarrassed that Mox got it after his bad run, but you know what? We say what we see. We're scientists. So true. Kenny didn't win the Mommy's Little Ham Award, but he can have an award called looked most like the alien from Men in Black. And he was barfing up blood, and it looked like cockroaches were trying to crawl out of his skin.
Yeah.
His skin suit.
Yeah. His skin suit.
Agreed.
So enjoy that one.
I saw somebody, I forget who it was like, it's so funny that the Bucks are trying so hard to get back in with Hangman. They haven't even noticed that Okada joined the DCF.
It's pretty crazy.
I just want a BTE segment where they're like, you leave us? No, that's not how that goes.
But where they like haven't, no, they like are so focused that they keep just being like, Okada, we're going to lunch. And it's like, you look and it's just like a, you know, backstage tech guy just being like, I haven't seen that guy in weeks. I don't know what that was about. They're just not paying attention. They're not tuned in. So Don Callis rushes Okada out of the arena. This is a great little moment for us. Alex Marvez darts out of a corner just being like, Don Callis, can you explain the unthinkable actions that have just occurred? And like Don Callis is being like, faster, 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 they're gonna kill us, they're gonna get us. And
I do love how Alec Marvez's beat is kind of like the parking garage, you know.
Yeah, that's right, he's always lurking there. That's where he hides.
Places
that's
where he don't overhears. Expect him.
Actually, he should be overhearing a few more things, maybe. Like, it's like, just stay, don't run, just stay behind a pillar and see what happens.
They leaned into overhearing, and we always had a camera on Alex Marvez, who was, like, peeking around a pillar.
Oh, my God.
And two people were just talking, but, like, you see, you know, Hangman and Christopher Daniels by their car or whatever.
I'd be pretty happy, yeah.
Yeah.
So great to see him. And then they race away. So that's the end of this. It's going to be a great match. There's no doubt in my mind that it's going to be a great match. And I do think
and I'm
that
glad
like
the people who are into it are happy.
Yeah, 100%.
Very happy. I think it's nice when
people are happy.
When Ben gets something that they like in wrestling, you know, the little beers.
Legitimately last night, Rich Latta was so happy and he kept posting all excitedly. And I'm like, of course, like, please, it is my pleasure to grant you a moment of happiness.
When my brother is happy, I am happy. Yeah. In my own way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can be magnanimous because the Hangman Swerve Ospreay thing is going so well. So I do just keep being like, well, the men can frolic here.
I know. I think at this point it's more of like a scientific interest in in what's going on, that it's like there's something that we crave that I feel like is really to me it's normal. I'm like, this is a really clear concrete thing we want. It's like, I want to know like why these men are here and why this is happening now. And it's a scientific interest in like, but they don't want to explain that, and we may be the only people craving it. And sometimes you do have to accept, like, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
I can't change how my brain is working right now. It'll be a great match. It was a very fun segment. I had a blast while repeatedly being like, what is going on here?
Yeah, I think bafflement is my overwhelming emotion with all of it, including other people being so happy with it. I'm like, wow, we really just enjoy different things, I guess.
And that's it's a very important lesson to learn in this world.
I think this was the most complimentary we've ever been about a segment that we also kept saying, this is nothing. This is nothing.
Oh, you gave it away. Kind of skirted around the way we were saying that, but it was very fun. It was fun. It was nothing. Yeah. In terms of what we wanted.
It was
nothing. I'm excited to see what they do over the next 4 weeks. They kind of knocked Kenny out of situation.
He wants to show him to us every 6 weeks.
I think his diverticulitis is back.
His guts are out. Puking, his guts came out of his body.
Yeah.
I mean, so he's at the hospital.
Yeah.
Shivani and Nigel came on the Collision commentary after this, and they were giving such a somber little, like, well, we've just seen.
I love
like gruesome. Such an upsetting, gruesome. We're really on the edge of our seat.
Like therapists are available throughout the arena.
Yeah. And it was like, guys, I think that was sort of like Chris Jericho's Dark Match movie level effects.
But I do love when commentary gets to try their hand at Mommy's Little Ham. They're like, yes, oh my God, it's time for my moment to shine.
And you know what? Shine you did. Wow. Everybody who competed in the Mommy's Little Ham Award tournament this week, you all shone. You shone bright like diamonds. And
we're going to send all of you guys our participation
ribbon. Trophy. Absolutely. And we couldn't be prouder of you. And again, Moxley beat you all by miles.
But we all saw you putting in that effort.
You tried.
We appreciate it.
And I think we've learned from AEW programming in the past that the most important thing in the world is simply to try.
Yeah.
And we learned our lesson. Tekla had her first full-length match versus Queen Aminata. I had to watch this late today because it was late in the show and I was sleepy.
I would like to beat up Tony Khan for the fact that, like, I was excited when Tekla debuted, and I was like, can't wait to see Tekla. And he keeps having her wrestle deep in the fourth hour. And I'm like, no Leah? One can stay awake.
That wasn't very Tony's Angel of you. I don't think a Tony's Angel would say that.
Reframe. It's exciting that Tony had faith in me that I was going to make it that far.
Wow, that was the most incredible reframe I've ever seen somebody do, like, so fast.
That
was
a great reframe. Okay, so you think it's exciting that Tony believed that you could stay up that late, but of course none of us could.
2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row. Oh, God, 2 weeks in a row. Yeah,
she wrestled late in the show last week, too.
That's so rude. Put her in the beginning.
Yeah.
I guess they're not trying to build an all-in match for her. Yeah. The one thing that is pretty clear about the structure of these 4 hours, because it's the Dynamite Collision structure, I guess, is that the first... 2.5, and they're trying to get you over that hump. The first 2.5, you're like, wow, this is jam-packed with plot-relevant stuff. And then the whole back half, it's like, and if you have time, you can check this out. It's like, I simply don't.
It was a little bit like Tony went backstage and was like, who wants to be on Collision? Raise your hand.
Tekla, I thought, looked really, really cool. It's very boring to keep saying that, but I love the way that she moves.
I know. I had this like thought while she was wrestling that I was like, she's so cool in a way that I find deeply intimidating. Like at some point, like I'm at a party and I start talking to her and she's oh yeah, have you been to, and she like names a restaurant I've never even fucking heard of. And she's like, oh yeah, I'm friends with like the owner. So like, you know, sometimes there'll be like after hours things. And I'm like, this is crazy. I've never heard of any of this.
I don't understand.
She's just way cooler. She like she's talking about like going to art galleries to see exhibitions for artists I've never heard of. And I'm like,
I'm going with her. God. I'm asking her to come to the textile center with me. And she might be interested. She could come.
I'm obsessed with her.
Yeah, she's great. Did you draw any conclusions about the discourse, or do you want to skip it?
I mean, listen, I'm an idiot. We're all idiots here. Yeah, I will say a lot of the internet seemed to think that Aminata did something on purpose that was not like, you know, chill, was not buddies. It seemed to me like it was just like a really like hard-hitting match, and it was really cool. And so like, I actually have no idea who was supposed to be in the heel in that match, because they both were kind of bad girls, but I had a good time and I thought it was really fun wrestling. So
yeah, I thought it was fun. I didn't have a strong feeling about any no selling or anything.
Yeah.
But then I often don't understand it. I think this comes back to our, like, it's like our lack of understanding of violence norms sometimes. Yeah, yeah. So we're just like, seems fine. And then it's like, that was the most offensive thing you could do to somebody who just murdered you. Oh God, I wouldn't want to offend someone who just murdered me. Seemed okay. But yeah, very fun match. Excited to keep watching that. Ty Conti re-debuted with Anna Jay in their classic tag team Ty Jai. And that was versus Megan Bain and Penelope Ford. Also a really fun match. Just everyone involved. I mean, it was like, Leah, I think you were the one who said, you know, we had 3 out of 4 of those, like, we've known for a long time. Yeah.
They were babies when we were wrestling babies, yeah. And we grew up together, and they're my old friends, and I loved seeing them.
I know. And then we missed them. They went away for so long. Ty Conti looks so cute with her little face paint and those colors. And she was like, she looks so happy to be back. I really felt emotional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a really nice time. She just has the cutest little, like, the face. She makes these little blep faces all the time, which I kind of forgot about. There's no reason that we would ever talk about the new Mariah May at WWE gimmick, except that I went on a really weird journey where it's like, I was watching everyone on the internet talking about it and being like, this is really low. Like, there's a low budget vibe to this, which there was. Mm-hmm. And like being like, and it's really weird that she, like, they just copied like all these like Sabrina Carpenter, you know, it's like set pieces basically. And then going back and forth about like, well, Sabrina Carpenter was copying it. It's like, okay, but yeah, if you copy the artist who copied a bunch of different things, then you're copying the artist. Like it's pretty clear that's the, like, for some reason, the template they're using. But right, when like I saw
make
it...
make your own Pinterest board. You
know? Yeah, pretty much. But when I saw it, I was like, that's so strange, because, like, Mariah May weirdly isn't a good Sabrina Carpenter fit, vibe-wise. Like, I understand they are both beautiful blonde women, but, like, there's something off about that to me. And then when I was looking at Ty Conti in this match, I was like, oh, it's because Ty Conti has the Sabrina Carpenter thing I'm thinking of just being, like, this little imp, of just having this little, like, I'm a little cheeky, like, cutie, which is not Mariah May's vibe at all. So then it's like, has nothing to do with anything, but then suddenly I'm like, Ty Conti could be Sabrina Carpenter. Yeah. No one should be being Sabrina Carpenter except Sabrina Carpenter. But she helped me understand better what wasn't clicking for me.
Right.
That's true. Yeah, a very superficial reading of Sabrina Carpenter would be like, any blonde can be this.
Certainly not. No, all blondes are different. Hey.
Every blonde is different.
Blonde is different. Every person on this earth is different. It's so important to be unique and to reduce, reuse, and recycle. Okay, so that was fun. I had a really nice time. None of us made it to this point in the program, but Julia Hart fought Toni Storm in the back half of the slog, and Mercedes came out to have another steak, I believe a rarer steak this time. Mm-hmm. So it's fun that they innovated in this space.
This time she actually, you know, like, cut into it, and yeah.
Like, you know, if it's not tough, you can. Mm. And Toni won, her match, and Mercedes attacked her and aggressively smelled her, which I love. You know, mm-hmm. I love that she's keeping that up. That's great. Mm-hmm. And then she got driven away because Mina ran out for the save, and then Mina was bent like over Tony, being like, "Oh, my beautiful girlfriend, how could this happen to you?" And the vibe I think was that Mercedes like turned around and was like, "What the fuck? I just sniffed you and now you have another girl bent over you?" Absolutely not. So then she went up, she went back and beat both of them up again, and she took the belt and she held it up. She said, "Kiss this title goodbye," and slammed it in Tony's face. And I thought that was a fun segment mm-hmm. when I rewatched it today, awake.
Yeah, I also like that. Mercedes does do like a really good petulant stitch. She does.
Oh, any general thoughts on the builder? We can skip that if you don't have any right now.
I think they're doing a good job. Like, I feel like Mercedes is really, like, stepping up to be, like, a weird freak with her. And mm-hmm. it's, like, so fun to have all this, like, sapphic weird freak stuff going on.
I know.
On.
I love it. And I'm glad that despite Dave being, like, last week, his response being, like, she was advertised being on commentary, but she wasn't on commentary. Not that they're doing what Dave says, but I was like, I'm glad that they saw that it worked. And they were like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. she'll come back and eat steak again for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good thing to double down on.
Roman Emperor vibes are impeccable. Yeah.
I hope her dinners get more and more, like, extravagant every single week.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Get more courses out there.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. Have waiters running courses out. That's fun. Yeah. And maybe make one of those waiters a tall man named Dustin Chuck Taylor.
Oh, my God. He'd be a great waiter. Tony Connor, are you listening? Dustin Chuck Taylor would love to carry a steak out to Mercedes. He would he could dress in his little butler uniform. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't fit good. And
no. I love that our vibe right now is that we have a 16-year-old who's like has no plans all summer, and we're like talking to someone, and I'm like, "Oh my God, my son would love a job. Do you have one?"
Mom, told you. Mom, I don't want to work.
I work hard all semester. Like, you don't work hard.
You don't work. You've never had a job. Oh my God. He's like, "Greg got a job at the pool and he's going to get me a job there too." You're not lifeguard trained, Dustin. He's going to get me a job at the concession stand. Okay. And then we also had a backstage segment where a camera guy approached Chris Statlander, and she wheeled on him and was like, "What are you going to do? Ask me about Willow. Look, I tried, but she's done with me, so I'm done with that. Why don't we talk about the fact that I'm Chris Statlander?" She's going on about herself in a normal way. Yuta approaches from behind and says, "My old friend Chris, it's your sister." So
hey, that's an incredibly funny way to address your blood sister.
Literal blood sister.
You were birthed by Dustin Chuck Taylor, and I think it's disrespectful not to
your mother.
Acknowledge that. Yeah.
To your mother, who's your working hard mother. As a waiter, bringing steaks out to Mercedes Monet night after night to pay for your gear.
Yeah. Who ruined his body carrying you.
His ankle. That's how his ankle got hurt. They came out so violently.
They would come out violently. This is a real birth of Athena situation.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yuta says, "Look, I know it's been tough with Willow and since you left Best Friends, and I'm sure it's not easy seeing how things have worked out for me. You're pin boy, baby."
Yeah.
Baby.
It was so funny for his vibe right there to be like, "And I know you're so jealous because I have a cool car and like tons of friends." And it's like, no, you don't.
You bought a lemon. You have to take it in to get fixed every month.
Yeah. Right.
You're riding in the back of a pickup truck. They don't even like you.
He's like, "I look really cool doing it." Everybody agrees.
She's like, "I have seen you walking into the arena like in daylight with your stupid bangs."
I know. She's like, "A mentally healthy man would not have that hair, brother of mine."
And don't they keep you in a dungeon?
I like it. I like it down there.
I'm learning to be a man.
Brian Danielson taught me that's the best place to sleep. And then it's like someone's giving him a look. "We don't talk about him. Sorry. We don't talk about him anymore." He said, "I had to make a lot of tough choices to get to where I am. So if you ever need some advice, I'm here. Here's one for free. Forget about Willow Nightingale and forget about what other people think of you. Good advice. Make your own choices." Chris says, okay, and she shoves him with her shoulder and shoulders past him, just like an aggravated big sister. And she's in a stare down with Marina Shafir. And it's a long, long look. And then Chris keeps walking, and Yuda's giggling to himself. My older sister is so annoyed with me. any thoughts on any of this?
I was fascinated by it.
Yeah, because I liked it a lot.
They made such a point that like Chris was going to come back face and everyone was kind of annoyed. And now I'm retroactively pleased with it because I love the idea of someone being like, no, I'm turning face. Oh my God, it's too much work.
It's so hard.
It's really hard. I'm going to be evil again.
I know. And just them like acknowledging the past in Best Friends is like,
I know.
It like takes so little to make me happy. It's just like, yeah, they know each other. She beat him up for a long time, but in a sister way.
No, I really did feel like any time that somebody seems to remember where they came from and allows it to feed even a little into like a current storyline, I'm like, I'm happy. That's all I want. That's all I want is just to know that you remember the past.
Right.
All right. And then this might be our final one of the night because do you guys even want to say anything? No. Yeah, skip it. Okay. Nick Wayne and Kip Sabian had a little segment on Kaligi. Kip had brought his special surprise for Nick Wayne. Nick Wayne said, where's Papa Christian? And Kip said, well, it's been really hard. You know, I think he thinks you just need a little space right now. And he said, where's my mother? And he was like, well, I think Christian needed to give her something hard too. I don't know. It was a bit of a stretch as a line, but I liked it very much. Yeah. Nick Wayne made this. It was a great. He also wanted the Mommy's Little Ham Award. He made an amazing face.
Wow.
Yeah. Most popular award in the biz.
Yeah.
People don't care about the Hall of Fame wrestlers, Wrestling Observer Radio. That shit don't matter. It's the Mommy's Little Ham Award.
It's the Mommy's Little Ham Award.
There's one wrestling award that the community cares about.
Mm-hmm. Prestigious.
Mm-hmm. Takes a lot.
Great face from Nick Wayne. Kip Sabian's like, never mind about that. I made a beautiful surprise for you. And it's your Best of the Super Juniors. And so we see some clips from Nick Wayne at Best of Super Juniors. He looked great. I thought it was fun of them to show them to us.
Yeah.
Big flips. Really and big flips.
Cut back to them. And Nick Wayne goes, you made that for me? Kip Sabian said, that's what a brother does. I said, video it?
He tenderly put together a carefully chosen video package for
his brother. Does. Over you're a the laptop. Family dog, I thought.
Yeah, brother.
That's what a brother does. Nick Wayne, this was like, I was like, I actually don't even know what's going on here because it was like pretty good acting. Like, he just was like, I love it. Like, he just seemed genuinely touched. He was like, I love it. And Kip Sabian was like, it's what a brother does. You know, I owe so much to Christian. I love being your brother, and I'm so glad that Christian gave birth to both of us. And I owe him a lot. And Nick, you owe him a lot, too. And poor Nick Wayne, I love just watching this journey for him, where he goes from, like, he's like, wow, this is the first actually nice thing somebody's done for me, and God knows since when. And my God, maybe somebody loves me. And then his face being like, oh, my abusive father. I really liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was perfect. Every little glimpse of the dynamic that entire group has going on just fills me with delight.
I know.
It's
so funny.
Weird.
They're so weird.
Weirder levels to it somehow, which is amazing.
I think somehow their approach of like, we're never going to explain anything is very effective for them.
Yeah.
Just because there's, I don't know, it's like they're always doing something crazy and then it's like, but will we be getting into it? No. What happens in Vegas, the Christian, what is his family called?
The Christian.
Patriarchy. The wizard is a man, as we all know. What happens in the patriarchy stays in the patriarchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does feel a little bit, just because we were talking about Chuck Taylor as the butler, like that storyline where you're like, wow, there's a lot of weird sex stuff going on behind very, very not very deep beneath the surface, like kind of right on the surface.
Kind of right on the surface in a way, but where you're like, but that can't be,
that can't be what they're intending.
Okay. All right.
Who is this for?
I know. Imagine if we had seen this right out the gate when we started watching wrestling.
I think it would have been too powerful for
us. Too powerful. Maybe so. Well, I'm excited to see what keeps going on there. Was there anything you wanted to talk about that we did not get a chance to talk about?
And I'll be expecting your notes app apology for the things you said about Matt Jackson earlier, but we can talk about that off air.
Oh, you want to talk about that off
air? We can talk about it off air.
But you brought it up in this on-air segment. Well,
I just wanted to warn and just be like, we'll be talking about that.
Leah's like, sometimes if I don't get it in during the show, they just leave. The second the recording finishes, they just leave because they know they don't want to hear my feedback. They don't want my feedback.
I start
every week. It's like, look, you said this about Matt Jackson. You said this about Matt Jackson.
It wasn't complimentary.
And I'm like,
that
was a compliment. And she's like, it was.
I didn't like your tone.
It's so funny because it's like, there can't possibly be, and I'm sure we've received recriminations for it. There can't possibly be a more Bucks-pilled wrestling podcast on the internet.
No, I don't think anyone else really.
We're the number one Young Bucks apologists on this great internet of ours. Proudly. Yeah. We've never hidden it. You can't gotcha us with it. We know. We like what we like. We like them and we love them. But sometimes I think it is okay if we say maybe he didn't do his haircut.
I'm cutting that.
But we loved it. Actually, it's like he did it good by accident. What if we say it that way? Mm. It's hard to imagine. Reframing.
Lee's like, that's all I asked for.
That's all I asked for. I think that's the only thing. And then we'll let this go, guys, okay? It's hard for me to imagine that he looked in the mirror and thought, now how can I do Mickey Mouse ears from the same point? They were in one place. They're not in separate places. That's the thing. They're meeting in the middle. So it's like, it's hard for me to imagine he did it purposefully.
Maybe he did it purposefully, though, because like they love Disney. You know, maybe he's like promising the kids. He was like, look at my hair.
Is a Disney adult? I hate you, Ann.
I mean, look.
We have yell at her for that.
He is a Disney adult, and I don't care for it.
I don't like when we talk about it.
I can see their Instagrams, Allie.
My God, this is rough. You know what? This is a rough end to a podcast. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about? Oh, suddenly no.
So let's just end on the note of like Matt Jackson's a Disney adult, and then just sign off. Yeah,
Does that make you feel better, Leah? I'm cutting all of this and replacing you with the robot TikTok voice that just goes, "Matt Jackson is very good at his job."
That's your best compliment for Matt Jackson. And you heard it here first from the number one Young Bucks apology podcast on the internet. Matt Jackson is very good at his job. Hey, thank you so much for listening.
Rated up his performance review for HR.
Think he's getting a merit increase this year?
Deadlines.
Punctual.
If he says he'll be there to kick someone, he'll be there.
He'll be there.
With That's bells right. on. And Very with a funny with little his... hairstyle that you don't fully understand.
Does great work with a hot glue gun.
That's right. He's crafty. He's an crafty. Artisan. He's a sneaker artisan.
Takes care with his work. Yeah.
He's working like with
sneaker
artists.
That's
working.
Actually one of the more offensive
she
things
made a
I've
face.
Actually one of the more offensive things I've heard, because if he were a sneaker artisan, he would be seeking out different methods of thumbtacking. He wouldn't be using glue and they wouldn't be flying off in the ring. The thumbtacks wouldn't be coming off the shoes.
All of this is getting cut. All of this is getting cut.
I like how like Leah was so offended that I said he might have done his hair bad, and Allie just hearing the phrase sneaker artisan made her make the same face.
You know what he could do? I know a little member of the elite who hasn't been seen for quite some time.
Who is an artisan.
And he's welding. He's working with hot metals. That seems like a man who could make a dangerous shoe.
Craft you a shoe out of one beautiful piece of resin.
And a pine cone.
It's a beautifully carved Dutch clog with a metal, what's the thing that goes on? A metal footbed?
No.
No, that once it goes on the bottom soul? Of the shoe, the wizard is the man. The wizard is soul? The man.
The soul of the shoe.
A beautifully spiked metal sole.
Wow.
I see the vision.
Handcrafted, yeah.
And that's why, and you know what? That would pump money into the local California economy.
How can shop you support local. Financially?
Shop local. Okay, so that's my recommendation. On that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
This really has never been more tunnel talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch, and Blue Sky at Tunnel Talk Pod via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. I think I forgot to say up front, but just to remind everybody, we will be doing a Twitch stream on Sunday, June 22nd, where we'll be watching a selection of matches that you guys have recommended to us in exchange for some 5-star reviews, which we thank you for very much. We're excited about that. You can also find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, on our feed, on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out some of the other great podcasts on the network, and you can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty. And as always, please come back next week.